Good evening. I'm happy that you're all here this evening. And I see I even have the children tonight. Wonderful. My topic tonight is there life after death? In Job, 14th chapter, verse 14, Job asks a question. A question that is still being asked this very day. He asked, if a person dies, will he live again? Of all the questions that this world has faced, it's interesting that this question shows up over and over and over again. It's a question that has touched philosophy. It has touched humanism. It's touched all aspects of thinking. Is there life after death? If when a loved one dies, will we ever see him again? Or when man dies, as it's often said, is he dead like Rover? Is there life after death? This question is probably as old as man himself. But it is a timely question. It's a question that the common people in the world ask daily. I would even dare say, many people were in the cemetery this very day, looking at the grave of a loved one and asking this question. Will there be life after death? And believe me, this question won't disappear until the day the Lord Jesus comes and the dead are raised. This question will remain. It is persistence. Our 21st century. I had to change my notes. I noticed I had wrote the 20th century. But in this 21st century, what is the thinking, particularly in the United States, that controls the way we think? And science. My son had to learn this year, and I'm sure that all science teachers do this, since we got one back here. The scientific method. Is this not what rules our society? Science? Science is good in some ways. We're thankful for microphones. We're thankful for lights. We're thankful for cars. We're thankful for heat inside a modern building. These things would only be possible because of science. Science does do good. But can science answer all the questions of life? Michelle? No, sir. Yes. How do you prove faith? By science. See, what does science rely upon? Science relies upon laboratories and upon experiments. And you have to be able to repeat this over and over again to write your theories and stuff and prove things. Can I take life into the laboratory and prove that there is life after death? Absolutely not. Science has its place, but science has no answers for all questions. Is there life after death? Science can't give an answer. For those millions of people who are wondering about loved ones, science has no answers. Western society is pervaded by something known as humanism. Humanism is bound up in the theory of evolution. And the theory of evolution leaves no room for life after death. The humanist, if asked, is there life after death, would say positively, absolutely no, because there is no evidence that life survives the death for the body. Science cannot give an answer to people who are hurting. People who want to know, is there life after death? And if modern science, and if philosophy, and philosophers have spoken for thousands of years, and what do? They philosophize? I don't know what philosophers do. They think, I guess. They've never been able to answer this question. Where do you turn when you need to know questions about life? You turn to the only source of information. It could be God, but religion. You know, it's interesting. Most of the world's religions talk about these questions. You have Buddhism and Hinduism, and anyone know what they teach? Something called reincarnation. That if you don't get it right in this life, you just keep coming back, and you 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 keep coming back, until you get it right. And if you don't get it right, you just keep coming back and coming back. And so do you know what their answer for life after death is? Blessed nothingness. Nirvana, they call it. But will anybody ever get it right? Just to keep coming back and keep coming back, one life after the other, until finally you get everything right, and then sweet nothingness. Then they don't believe in life after death. So they have no real answer. I can imagine they are tired of coming back over and over and over again. What about Islam? Islam also teaches a life after death, that one day everybody will come to Allah and be judged. Judaism, though not declared and explained so good as in Christianity, Orthodox Judaism teaches there will be life after death. God will judge the dead and the living. Orthodox Judaism teaches that. Life after death was one of the cardinal doctrines of first century Christianity. As a matter of fact, it is so important to Christianity that you cannot separate it from the religion of Christianity. It's interesting. I found an internet, an old Newsweek magazine from March 27th of 1989. And there was an article by Kenneth L. Woodward. And he found a strange something that I thought was strange. He interviewed a cross-section of American and European theologians. And he found out that most of them will only teach resurrection and life after death. Can you imagine on what day? What's known as Easter Sunday. He quoted a man, I got to look at the guy's name, someone by the name of Douglas Stewart, an evangelical theologian and professor at the Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary in Southampton, Massachusetts. And when Woodward asked him why this was so, here was the answer this man gave. The problem is that the clergy simply don't believe in the afterlife. Not the biblical one or any other one. And unfortunately, this is still true in 2008. But that does not help the millions of people who want to know, is there life after death? Will I ever see my mother, my father, my son, my brother, my wife, my husband? Or is this it? Where do we go? I say, who cares? Who cares what the liberal theologians teach? They are not helping or answering the question that is hurting millions of people. Let us go to the Bible. Let us go to the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, to look for answers. Because the Word of God speaks much differently than liberal theologians. Let's take a look first at two statements by Jesus Christ. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 12, had been accused that he had done miracles with the power of Beelzebub, with the prince of the demons. And in part of his answer, in verse 32 of Matthew 12, he says, "Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come." You see, Jesus assumed and believed that an age was coming after this one, a life after death. That was the New International Version. And then again in Mark chapter 10, verse 29 and 30, Jesus, talking to his disciples, said this, "I tell you the truth, all those who have left houses, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, or farms for me, and for the good news, will get more than they left. Here in this world they will have 100 times more homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields. And with those things they will also suffer for their belief. But in the age that is coming, they will have life forever." Once again, Jesus talks about a belief, an assurity that there will be another age after this one. And for those of you who heard my sermon this morning, once again, Jesus referred to the upcoming church. "If for the faith," he says, "you lose houses, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, or farms," he says, "you will have 100 times more in this world." Why? Because of the church. And that was my this morning sermon. Jesus seems to assume and believe that there is a world to come, an age to come, a life after death. What about other scriptures in the Bible? Let us remember that the Bible is inspired by God. That what is in the Bible will be consistent. If Jesus teaches life after death, then we can believe the Holy Spirit is not going to speak differently. Let us take a look at some other verses. Ephesians 1, 21. "God has put Christ over all rulers, authorities, powers, and kings, not only in this world, but also in the next." 1 Timothy 4:8. Paul says, "Training your body helps you in some ways, but serving God helps you in every way by bringing you blessings in this life and in the future life too." Or 1 Corinthians 15:19, "It is our hope in Christ." Let me read that all over. "If our hope in Christ is for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone else in the world." Why? Because then it would be a vain hope in Christ if there were no life after death. It is clear that the Holy Spirit, through Paul and through many other writers of the New Testament, share the view that there is a life beyond this one. There is a life after death. Of course, these thoughts are devastating to the idea of reincarnation. But then, the Scriptures don't teach reincarnation. They teach the resurrection. In John chapter 5, 25 and 26, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. The time is coming and is already here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will have life. Life comes from the Father Himself, and He has allowed the Son to have life in Himself as well. The apostles and other Christians taught resurrection, even when it meant the severest of persecution. In Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, while Peter and John were speaking to the people, Jewish priests, the captain of the soldiers that guarded the temple, and the Sadducees came up to them. Now listen, what was upsetting these people? They were upset because the two apostles were teaching the people and were preaching that people will rise from the dead through the power of Jesus Christ. The Jewish leaders grabbed Peter and John and put them in jail. Since it was already night, they kept them in jail until the next day. But the point was, these two apostles were teaching a resurrection from the dead through the power of Jesus Christ, which is the heart of the message of the gospel. There is no power in the gospel if the dead don't rise. If there isn't a life after this one, our gospel is worthless. And while making his defense before the Jewish council, Paul declared, "My brothers, I am a Pharisee, and my father was a Pharisee. I am on trial here because I believe that people will rise from the dead." That is why he was being persecuted, because he believed in the resurrection of the dead. And in his defense before Felix, Paul said something similar in chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. He says, "But I will tell you this. I worship the God of our ancestors as a follower of the way of Jesus. The Jews say that the way of Jesus is not the right way. But I believe everything that is taught in the law of Moses and that is written in the books of the prophets. I have the same hope in God that they have. The hope that all people, good and bad, will surely be raised from the dead." He said, "I am on trial because I believe that good and bad will be raised from the dead." Paul believed in an afterlife. He believed in the resurrection. He believed, yes, there is life after death. This is not all there is to life. There's more. Faith in a resurrection of just and unjust. And Jesus said the same thing. He said there'll be a resurrection of the good and the evil. And everything is founded upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, everything in Christianity is, what's my favorite German word? Quatsch, yeah. It is quatsch. It is worthless. Because it is meaningless without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul argues in 1 Corinthians 15:12, "Now since we preach that Christ was raised from the dead, why do some of you say that people will not raise from the dead? If no one is ever raised from the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is worth nothing, and your faith is worth nothing." What does that say about liberal theologians? Their faith is nothing. They don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If they don't believe in the resurrection of the dead, the central tenet of Christianity. Faith in the resurrection is a cardinal principle in the process of becoming a Christian. It gives beauty and meaning to baptism. Listen to what Peter declares about baptism. 1 Peter 3:21, he says, "And that water is like baptism that now saves you. Not the washing of dirt from the body, but the promise made to God from a good conscience. And this is because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. What gives power to a baptism? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there is a resurrection, that means He had to have died. He died for our sins. And as approval that His Son was the correct way, He rose His Son from the dead, and this is what we as Christians believe. Liberal theologians would have us deny the resurrection of Christ. They would have us deny the resurrection of the dead. Basically, they would have us deny judgment as well. Liberal theologians say there is no heaven, there is no hell. What we have is all there is. And Paul said, if that's our belief, then our faith is worth nothing. Is there life beyond the grave? Mike, what was that answer you told me to say? Sit down and then shut up. He said, yes. Yes, there is. According to Hebrews 9:27, just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. You see, if there was no life after death, how can there be a judgment? But there is. Let us notice three things in this verse. First, it is appointed for men to die. Second, it is appointed men to die only once. And third, after that death, there will be a judgment. What does a person have to look forward to in the world to come? The Bible teaches two possibilities. Who knows what those two possibilities are? Heaven? Hell. I heard someone say it. It got whispery. Heaven and hell. Where will you spend your time? There is life after death. There's only two possibilities of where you are going to live. We have a choice to make. We can reconcile ourselves to God in Jesus Christ. If we do that, where will we be going? Heaven. If we decide against Christ, if we reject Christ, if we do not accept His salvation, where do we go? Hell. Those are the only two possibilities. Christ came and died that we might be reconciled to God and live in eternity in heaven. We have a choice to make. I pray and I hope that you make the right decision. I pray and I hope that this evening you will decide, if you have not made the decision, to accept Christ. To wash away your sins in baptism, to commit your life to Him, to commit your life to His church, and to live as Jesus would have wanted His people to live upon this earth. Death awaits us all. There is a resurrection, but there is also a judgment. And following the judgment, there is either heaven or hell. You determine your destiny. You can determine it by accepting Jesus Christ or by rejecting Jesus Christ. There's only these two possibilities. There is none other. I pray that you will accept Him this evening and accept His salvation and eternal life. Will you not come as we stand and as we sing?